you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Balk Talk podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, NBC Sports Bay Area's Jessica Kleinschmidt.
Welcome back to Balk Talk, presented by Wendy's. A better tomorrow starts today with Wendy's breakfast. At Wendy's, we don't ask what tomorrow holds, but rather what you will hold tomorrow. No matter what you choose, tomorrow's looking good with Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's. All right, we're back for another episode of Balk Talk, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex Pavlovich. How's it going, Alex?
I'm good. How are you, Jessica?
I'm fantastic, and I'm so excited you're here. We get to have a really fun episode this time around because you and I get to take a fun little trip back to February-ish before everything kind of turned as far as MLB goes. And we had a one-on-one, well, two-on-one with Mike Yastrzemski, and it was a really fun interview. And I wanted to obviously bring you in, not just because you were in the interview, but do you remember who my NL MVP pick was for this year, Alex?
Yeah, I believe I told you not to pick Joey Votto because that was too obvious. So you picked Mike Yastrzemski, which I got to say, when I was posting that story, I made a face.
What kind of face did you make? And why did you make the face?
That was bold. It was supposed to be bold predictions. That was extremely bold, but I give you a ton of credit because so far you've nailed it.
So far I've nailed it. And even if I went with Joseph Votto, he hit a home run that day too. So either way, mom is looking good over here. But I wanted
maybe
to
should have picked Donovan Solano, but we'll take yes.
Yeah, totally fine. And the reason, you know, he's just been insanely good, not even just this season, but last year he was in like even a little bit of MVP talk. So he's been able to transition and translate those numbers to a shortened season. I don't know if it's because he loved Vandy so much, but he was mentally in the college mentality. But what's been working for Yaz at the plate this season?
I think we see everything we saw last year, the whole breakthrough, and then now we're seeing just really improved pitch recognition. And he just is not swinging at pitches that are outside of the zone. He's waiting for a pitch he can do damage on. And he's a versatile hitter. He can hit righties. He can hit lefties. He hit lefties really well last year. And I think you saw his big game, kind of the coming out game, so to speak, for him was that game where he hit the walk-off. And I think you saw in that game, I mean, he took Chris Paddock deep on a changeup. Paddock has one of the best changeups in baseball. And then comes back seven innings later and hits a lefty who's coming from kind of behind him. He's just really versatile and I think has a ton of confidence going right now. And you've talked to him a few times. I mean, he is somebody who has always believed in himself. And last year helped quite a bit. And I think coming into this year, knowing that he was probably going to be at the top of the lineup, probably going to be in center field or right field, has allowed him to just work on things. And he's taken that time to his credit to become a much better baseball player.
And he's hitting well, not just overall, but at Oracle as well, which is difficult to hit unless your name is Barry Bonds. But he mentioned that when Mike Yastrzemski mentioned that Vandy helped him quite a bit play at Oracle. And that's because at Vandy, their field is a little wonky. They have that weird territory and everything like that. How that, in addition to a 60-game season, he's able to kind of bring that mentality back. But we have to remember, it's been a long time since he's played college because he's going to be 30 this month, and people forget that. So he's able to be humble and all this. Do you think since he was older and got that transition that plays into it? He's such a good guy. Like, how is he so able to have this humble mentality but still rake on the field?
Yeah, I think to his credit, I mean, he's never said, I'm a Yastrzemski. Like, why was I not in the big leagues? I think there have been a couple times where he's enjoyed the fact that maybe he's come back to haunt the Orioles, but for the most part, and I believe looking back, February feels like 10 years ago, but I believe when we sat down with him, I asked him about year two, and he said something about, he didn't come into this year feeling that safe. He felt like he had to prove himself again. And I think he went into spring that way. He went into the offseason that way. And then the Giants obviously have made him feel more comfortable and said, look, you're going to have a huge role for us. But I think he's a guy who, just because of everything he's been through in the minor leagues, you know, like you said, it's been a long time. He was drafted in 2013. So it took him a long time to get up here. And I think he didn't let that break him. He let that kind of motivate him when he came up here to make sure he didn't go back.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch him, and it couldn't happen to a better person. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And the one question I asked him this earlier, we played on it. Social media just posted, how can you spell Yastrzemski? And Buster Posey straight up was like, no, not going to spell it. Now, you and I have had to put both his name and Jeff Samardzija's name in one SEO headline. I got to be honest, the moment I felt comfortable spelling Samardzija, Yastrzemski gets promoted. I feel like Samardzija is more like less difficult than Yastrzemski, if maybe we never knew Carl Yastrzemski existed.
Yeah, he is the one guy. I like to, you know, actually tweet out the lineup every day in full and not just send a picture, so people then have to click on the picture and and see the lineup. So I type it out every single day. I haven't been doing it since, you know, 2012. He's the one guy that I just consistently have shortened. And I mean, we have other guys. We have Samardzija and we have Dickerson and some other longer names, Sandoval. Yastrzemski's the one guy that just, I just go Yaz, because it's just, you're going to screw it up if you try to type it out every day. And it's just so easy just to go Yaz and move on. Yaz is hitting leadoff, playing center field. Move on to the next guy.
Yeah. And luckily for him and Samardzija, they have nicknames, and it's Yaz and Sharks. So you don't have to try so hard, but I'm glad we're over that. I still struggle with Yastrzemski. Samardzija is so much easier. Maybe it's a little trick that I learned. But one thing that was really cool with what Mike Yastrzemski did was during the exhibition game, he was playing against the A's, and not only did Kapler kneel, not only did Austin Slater kneel, but so did Mike Yastrzemski. And obviously he doesn't fit the demographic. It's Black Lives Matter. And he was able to pay homage to that. So talking to him, what was that moment like, not just for Yaz, but the entire Giants organization?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the most impressive things I've seen him do. And you mentioned Slater. I'm glad you did, because those two guys, I mean, that first night, all the intention is obviously on Kapler. For good reason. He's a manager, and that took a lot of guts to do that, I think, and be the first one to do that. And then Jalen Davis as well. But for Austin Slater and Mike Yastrzemski to make that decision and stick with that decision and do it after really spending a lot of time becoming informed on the issues, I think said a lot about both of them. And we've talked to Mike about it since then, and he has made it clear he has all the respect in the world for the troops, has all the respect in the world for the flag. But he said he's talked to a lot of people over the last 3-4 months, and one of them, you know, Tony Kemp with the A's, is a good friend of his. They're very close. I believe they were roommates. I think Tony was in his wedding, actually.
Yeah,
so they're very close, and he's talked to him and just tried to get a better sense of what's going on. And I think he understood that he could use his platform. And to me, you have to give him credit, because he wasn't really established at the time. I mean, he is a little bit, but we didn't know when he took a knee in Oakland what he would do the first 2 weeks of the season. And Austin Slater also isn't really established yet. So those are two guys who just felt like this was the right thing to do, and they wanted to show support, and that was one way they could do it. And they both have been very willing to answer any questions we've had about it.
Yeah, you mentioned Tony Kemp. I just talked to him maybe a couple of days ago, and Kemp said that he got chills talking about the fact that Yaz reached out with that plus one effect. So that was really cool. So we have a really fun interview for everybody. Hopefully, I wonder if we're the same people as we were back in February, but we can at least, I think I'm a little bit chubbier. It's fine. But at the same time,
I am too. Don't worry.
It's all good. But I want people to know that from the beginning, we were excited to see what Yaz can do. So check it out. So last year was really, really fun to watch. You kind of burst on the scene. You obviously have a very well-known name. But in a way, you kind of made a name for yourself. What was last year like for you?
It was surreal. You know, it was a dream come true. And for the longest time, all I wanted to do was play in the big leagues for one day. And I just kind of took every day after that as bonus. Mm-hmm. And so I think that really allowed me to be free and kind of play my game and not be worried about whether I needed to perform to stay here or whatever I had to do. I could just go out and play baseball, and that was probably the best feeling that I could have had.
I've heard guys say it's harder to stay in the big leagues than it is to get there. You did that last year. You mm-hmm. stayed, I think, maybe something that's almost just as hard as doing it again.
Yeah.
How much for you is this kind of like a, you know, you did what you did last year, but have to prove yourself again to stay up here?
Yeah. I never really take anything for granted in terms of being on a roster or being on the team, because I knew for 6 years that every day I was doing everything I could to be in somebody else's spot and take a roster spot or be on the field, do whatever I had to do. And so I know that there's plenty of people that are working to do that. So in my mind, I have to work just as hard to stay where I am. And I'm still fighting for a spot and still working to be in the lineup every day. And that's what ends up motivating you.
When you were raised around the sport, you kind of got the front seat like a lot of us didn't. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're there. Did it meet your expectations?
It was way better. Mm-hmm. It was actually really cool too to meet guys on the team. And because growing up, you look at guys in the big leagues and say, like, they're my heroes. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be like them and be a part of what they were doing. And then when you get there and you realize that it's a group of regular guys, you know, everybody's a human being and everybody mm-hmm. is having to work hard like you are. And once you realize that that's the reality of things, it becomes a little bit easier to accept your role on the team and accept your place and really kind of just blend in.
What's it like for you? I mean, not just a new manager, whole new coaching staff. They are all basically your age. Some of them were yeah. coming through the minor leagues at the same time as you. I think some of them you might have played with yeah. at certain
yeah,
times.
Yeah, I played with Justin.
Yeah. What's when you start hearing these names and saying that, you know, that guy was in camp with me at some mm-hmm. point, what's your reaction to that?
I'm excited about it because I know that there's guys that are taking an opportunity that they're getting and really trying to run with it and trying to make this organization better. And we're not trying to be stuck in time. We're trying to move forward and be progressive and have some really cool things to use and to try to find our way to get better every day and have people supporting you and just helping you along the way and saying that, you know, we're here to get better too is really cool to have that support.
You are older, but you're still younger in the bigs. What role do you think you're going to be in 2020?
I don't know. Honestly, whatever role it is, I'm willing to take that over. Whether it be a bigger role than last year, whether it be a smaller role, whatever Cap and the guys want from me is what I'm going to try and give. And I'm ready to take on whatever that is.
You know, in my conversations, and I asked Farhan, I asked Cap, Scott, who's going to play center field? And a lot of times it kind of circles back to you a little bit, and they say, we like what we saw. For you, I mean, how much are you aware of just what your role might be this year and the mm-hmm. changes and how comfortable are you? I know you've played a lot of center field in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I love playing center. Like I said, I'm ready to take on any role that I need to. But I try not to pay attention to that stuff because, like the question you asked earlier, I'm still trying to prove myself. And I'm going to try and prove myself to me every day and trying to work one step further to where I want to be. And It's a long journey still, and I don't think that I'm really anywhere close to where I eventually want to be. And so whether I have to prove it to other people, I'm not sure. I'm just focused on being able to finish the day and look myself in the mirror and say I did what I needed to get better today.
And you want to get better, but what specifically were you working on the off season to make that happen?
A lot of discipline stuff. You know, just working on a mindset, working on composure, whether it be able to take a bad swing in the cage and be able to regroup really quickly as opposed to just staying in there and taking swing after swing after swing and really just wearing yourself down physically. I can kind of try to bring in a mental side to the game in my training. So that way when it comes to the season, things just start to flow along smoothly and I feel like I've already worked on that.
If you look behind your right shoulder, I mean, they're tearing up right center field. You're one of the few guys, one of the few lefties we've seen mm-hmm. recently who the arcade's not a problem for you, and it wasn't last year, but it's still nice to have it come in where it's coming in. What's your reaction when you look out at the ballpark and as a left-handed hitter see what's out there now?
I think it could still come in a little bit. Okay. No, I'm kidding. But no, you know what? That's one of those things that when you come into a ballpark and you take batting practice for the first time, you start to understand how the ball plays, you know, how whether it's carrying, whether the wind's crosswind or however it happens to be that day. And you have to live with that and you have to be accepting of it. So trying to change the wind or wishing we played in a smaller ballpark, it's kind of irrelevant. It is where we are. And, you know, I'm happy to be in this ballpark. It's actually my favorite place to play. Mm-hmm. Out of every park that I've ever played in, this has been my favorite. And even though a lot of people say it's tough to hit here, for some reason, I feel comfortable in the box. And, you know, I'm just happy to step up there as many times as I can.
Your first time in the box, did you ever have any of those, like, it's a pitcher's park mentality? Were you nervous about that at all?
No, actually, you know, because growing up in the SEC and playing in some of these smaller parks, mm-hmm. I used to, like, get caught up in that and be like, all right, this is my chance to hit some homers every time I go, and it would just backfire.
Oh.
And at Vandy, we had a pretty big pitcher's park, and it played pretty true. And I never really hit a whole lot of homers, so I got used to, like, learning how to adjust to that and saying, like, I don't need to try and do too much, or I don't need to try and, you know, hit a homer in this situation. It's about just taking a good swing and trying to barrel the ball.
My last one for you, I mean, it seemed last year, it was clear to me at least, that you and Pablo formed a really cool bond, and I think you were at his wedding, which was apparently the party of the year.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What does it mean to you just to see him, not just coming back, but so far ahead of schedule and the fact that he might be back on the field in May?
I'm really happy for him. I think that when you have a good personality and you are deep, really a good person, then kind of good things start to happen to you. And to see his path and to learn from someone like that was really special for me. And I took a lot of things from him from the bench when he would get ready to pinch hit. You have this big personality who's loving and fun, mm-hmm. and everybody wants to be around him. And then the fifth inning comes around and you don't hear another word out of him. Like, he's in the cage, he's dead focused. And I was, like, so completely blown away by how he could turn it on and turn it off so quickly. And that was something that I tried to really understand without asking him questions, just by watching him do it. And so it's really cool to see him back with us, and you know, I hope that he just keeps progressing in the way that he is.
Alex and I have to sometimes put both your name and Jeff Samardzija's name in a headline under a certain amount of characters. So
not possible.
Yeah. So I'm comfortable spelling them relatively well. If you were not a sports writer, what would be more difficult for you to spell, Samardzija or Yastrzemski?
Samardzija, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. I only have one funky letter. He's got like seven.
Yeah, that is true.
But I just have that one hidden Z. You can take it out and it sounds the same.
Yeah, that's so.
I've given up. I just call him Shark.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't put that in a headline, though.
You can put Shark in a headline.
Yeah, Shark and Yaz, it's easy.
Yaz, yeah, that one too. Yeah. Perfect.
That's true. Yeah. We're going to play a fun game.
Okay.
It's called This or That. Okay. I give you two options, and you pick your favorite one.
Perfect.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Would you rather Netflix binge a show or go to a movie?
Netflix.
Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Okay.
That one was easy. I didn't need another answer for that one.
Pizza or burritos?
Burritos.
Okay. Yeah. A phone call or a text message?
Text.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Music or podcasts?
That's not fair. I'm on a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, so am I, but I'd rather listen to anything
Buster said music right to our face.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a little feelings. Music. I listen to music.
You're
more.
On a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Just casual.
This one.
Yeah.
Oh, this one. Yeah. I thought he meant like he had his own podcast.
No, this one.
No, oh, right. I'm on this one right now.
Uh-huh. That's awkward. What's the name of this thing again? We don't have one, and that's for obvious reasons. I'm going to come back from that. You just watch. Would you rather be the passenger or the driver?
Driver.
City or suburbs?
Suburbs.
Would you rather win a World Series or be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Win a World Series.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that's going to be the popular answer.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to tell you Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
not to our face anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they will. I don't know.
We'll see.
You'll find out.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that'll do it for me, guys. That's right. I picked Mike Yastrzemski to be your National League MVP. Alex Pavlovich laughed at me at first, guys. Now who's laughing at him? Probably nobody, because he's like a really cool guy. But I did say that Mike Yastrzemski will be the NL MVP, and I got some people looking at me for saying that. That's right. I love me some Yaz. I cannot wait to see what he does for the rest of the season. And I think it goes to show that Alex and I definitely have changed in the last 6 months. Maybe we're a little bit fluffier thanks to the quarantine, but that's okay. Mike Yastrzemski stayed in shape. Must be nice. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Bock Talk. If you're looking for a new way to stream, meet Peacock, the free streaming service from NBC Universal. With tons of movies and shows, plus a daily dose of news, sports, and pop culture, there's something for everyone. And best of all, you can watch for free or upgrade for more. Go to peacocktv.com and start streaming now. You know why? Because that's where Justin Hartley is from This Is Us, and Amy Poehler from Parks and Rec, which is better than The Office. Yeah, I said it. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Balk Talk podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.